Good morning, church. It's good to be in God's house this morning. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to fill the pulpit in Pastor Tom's absence, him and Pastor David. I appreciate this a lot, and I'm thankful for this opportunity, this honor, and this privilege. And I pray that as a church, we'd be faithful this week to hold the rope for those that are in India. Our role here as a church in supporting the families that are at home and in prayer and lifting them up is, in God's eyes, I believe, equally important as the people that are on the field in India. So I pray that we do that as a church. This text that we're going to read this morning, it's blessed my soul this week and weeks before. And I hope you're equally blessed as we unpack this text this morning. My goal is basically to discuss two things. How can we wait well on God? And number two is, what does God expect of us to do when we're waiting on the Lord? I'm going to read this text in Psalm 62. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 62. And we'll be in verses 1 and 2, and then verses 5 through 8. Psalm 62. Verses 1 and 2, and then 5 through 8. This is a psalm of David that was originally written as a hymn. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He's my only rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray by the power that you give us in the Holy Spirit. Bless the travels this morning, Lord, of our missionary team headed for India. And bless their efforts while they are there. We pray, Lord God, that you would right now, this very moment, start opening the eyes and the ears and the hearts of those in India who will hear the gospel message from our church, our missionaries. Lord, today I pray that you would allow life to be in these words and that you would allow truth to be in these words. Lord, I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. And please add a blessing to the reading and teaching of your word. All these things we ask in our victorious Savior Jesus. In his name, amen. I didn't come up with these numbers. According to a survey conducted by Timex, human beings spend the following amount of time waiting in our lifetime. I don't know if these are accurate or not, but some of them I think are true. Apparently, we spend 6 months of our lives waiting in line to do something. This year, in 2018, Americans, not people in the world, Americans will spend roughly 37 billion hours this year waiting in line for something. If you go to see your doctor, most of the time, you're going to wait on average of 20 to 30 minutes. You can wait for a busy table at a restaurant. We know that can take 20 to 40 minutes. We go through the drive-thru, we have to wait in line there. I thought this one was good. 40 days of our lives are spent on hold with automated customer service. I think that's on the light side. If you've ever called somebody and needed something fixed, especially if you called Frontier. Those who take the bus or the train, who commute by bus or train, will spend about 27 days of their lives waiting on the platform or on the bus stop. We have to wait in line as we shop. If you don't shop online, you go to the store. You have to wait in line. And unoccupied time as we wait in the shopping line accounts for $5.5 billion a year in impulse purchases. That's why when you go to payout, both sides of you are lined with stuff you really don't need, but you take off the shelf because there's nothing else to do when you're waiting. What does this mean to us? I think it means that we have to wait. And if you're like me, most of us, we hate to wait. And do we wait well? The word wait, waits, waited, and waiting are used 133 times in the Bible. And so waiting is not exclusive to Christians today. For thousands of years, countless people have waited on the Lord. I'll be the first to admit, waiting can be agonizing, and it's hardest for us to wait when we are uncertain about an outcome. When we are trusting God for the best, it seems like at the same time, mentally, we're preparing for the worst. And sometimes as we wait, it would be much easier if we had a guaranteed good outcome. I could wait better if I knew the outcome was going to be good. Or at least maybe as we're waiting, a promise from God to hold on to, or a reassurance to anchor our prayers. But sometimes when we wait, it seems almost as if God is silent. Sometimes we have no idea whether He'll even answer our prayer. And many times it feels like we're waiting in the dark, alone. What can be worse is when we read in 2 Peter 3:8, Peter writes, "Don't overlook this fact, church, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day." When we read this, is this comforting, or does this cause more anguish? God's children are always waiting on Him for something. We wait on God to fulfill particular promises. We wait on God to deliver us from our enemies. We wait on God to provide for our material needs, to rescue us when we're in trouble, to deliver us from depression and despondency, to bring about righteousness and justice when wickedness and injustice in the world seem very powerful. We wait on God, Romans 8, to redeem our broken bodies. And finally, we wait for Jesus' return. And if we knew that God would eventually answer our prayers with yes, it would be different. But the God of the Bible and His Scripture doesn't give us any assurance that we're going to get all our prayers answered our way as we wait. Sometimes even a no from God would be easier than wait. What if we wait and pray for years and God's answer is no? In all these cases, it's about waiting expectantly with hope. And our text this morning says that when we wait on God in hope, God is a strong rock. God is a refuge, a fortress, somewhere that you can run into when things are not going well. Somewhere you can hide, a refuge, a strong fortress. And what David's trying to teach us here is he writes that fundamental to be able to wait as a believer, is trusting God's character and His goodness. And learning to wait on God is a crucial exercise in faith. And it's a crucial exercise in character building for God's children. Noah Webster defines waiting as staying in expectation. Can that be said of me while I wait on God? Am I waiting on Him expectantly, or am I waiting impatiently? surely he won't answer my prayer. Why even pray? God wants us to stay in expectation. Or am I focusing on my own concerns? Or am I focusing on this thing that I'm praying for? The circumstances. Brothers, sisters, it's all about holding on tight to God. And the psalmist says, hope with expectation and trust. Knowing that our Lord is not making us wait just to see how long we can take it. That's not true. God makes us wait because he has something good in store for us, not just to punish us or to see how long we can stand up underneath this pressure. And there are times that we've seen in the Bible when God purposely delays an answer, and we at times wonder why he seems so absent or distant. Or maybe he seems like he's reluctant to intervene in our affairs. But if you've been a Christian long enough and you believe what you read in the Bible, we can trust that when God moves, he will come at the perfect time. Not a second too soon. Not a second too late. So the first point about waiting well on God has two subsections, really quick and easy. There are two key elements in waiting well according to what the Bible teaches us. Letter A is a complete dependence on God. Is this possible for us? I think we can get close on earth. A complete dependence on God. And B, this is the hardest, a willingness to allow God to decide the terms, including his timing. Trusting God with the timing of his events is one of the hardest things to do. It's like praying, Lord, I need patience, and I need it now. Have you ever said that? Yeah, I'm not the only one. Praise the Lord. I thought that was just me there. This prayer's not far removed from the truth of how we approach things today. As I'm going through the drive-thru, I want that food or that tea, and I want it now. I don't want to have to wait a minute and 15 seconds for an iced tea. You can make a complete meal in a microwave now in just a few minutes, but yet I stand outside of the microwave and watch the clock tick. If we're willing to trust God and wait on him, God will use that time as we're waiting to produce character in us. Part of the character that God builds in us is patience. Patience and endurance. Look at Romans 5. Austin, I think I said Romans 5, 1 through 4, but I'm actually going to read Romans 5, 1 through 5. Here Paul writes to the church in Rome about peace with God through faith. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character in the believer. And character in the believer produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Paul here, this endurance that he's talking about might be endurance to wait on the Lord and patience. Paul says that if we're waiting through a time of suffering, he's worth waiting for. We can wait with endurance. We can wait with hope. Sometimes God makes us wait because he loves us. Think about that. Sometimes he makes us wait because he loves us and he doesn't want us to stumble off into the wrong thing. So the second thing is, what does God expect us to do while we wait? And to me, brothers and sisters, the Bible's clear. You won't find in the New Testament where it says it's okay for a believer to sit on their hands and do nothing while we're waiting on God. That's terrible advice, and it's not in the Bible. Jesus also urged people as he ministered them not to focus on the things they're waiting for or the circumstances so that they didn't become preoccupied with what they were waiting for. And there's certain things that we cannot neglect to do while we're waiting on the Lord. We should not focus on our circumstances or the outcome of what we're waiting on. Instead, I should be looking to God, asking him, what do you want me to do, Lord, while I'm waiting? And I think about Abraham in the Old Testament. I can identify with Abram's humanity and sometimes how he doubted God's protection and timing and plan. And if you think about it, he even tried to fulfill God's promise on his own through a slave girl, Hagar. That was not what God wanted for Abraham. Or perhaps he thought maybe that God needed his help and ingenuity. Well, guess what? God does not need our help. He does not need our human intellect and smarts and sheer will to accomplish something in our lives. God works with us, but he also works in spite of us. And he's not dependent on my smarts or my ingenuity to help him achieve his purpose in my life. God doesn't need my help. Thank goodness. This part I can identify with Abraham. His struggle with impatience feels all too familiar. And too many times I've tried to help God fulfill his plans or the plans that I want God to have for me. Lord, you know, please give me this because I want it. I deserve it. No, I don't deserve it. And think about this. Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord said, you're going to have a son. The son of a promise. Talking about Isaac. And it didn't happen 9 months later. He wasn't 76 when Isaac was born. While Abraham was waiting, God was working. God was molding Abraham's character. God was not absent or distant. God was enhancing his relationship with Abraham while he waited. It was in that 25-year period waiting on God that Abraham got to know God intimately. And after 2.5 decades of waiting, at age 100, Abraham got his son, Isaac, born to a 90-year-old woman. And then, we know the story, God provided Abraham with a test to challenge his faith. The supreme test of his faith, when God directed Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the son that he had spent 25 years waiting for. Age 75, you're going to have a son. Age 100, the son is born. Now kill him. It just doesn't make sense. The supreme test of faith, the son he'd spent 2.5 decades waiting for, God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. But I will say this, in the 25 years that he waited, and by the time Isaac had come, Abraham's trust in God was almost unbreakable. In Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8, where Abraham and Isaac are talking, Isaac says, Dad, I see the wood and the fire that they're here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham's answer to his son, who he'd waited for 25 years, is seasoned in faith when he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Do you see what happened with Abraham from age 75 to 100? Lord, I'm going to have a son with a slave girl outside of your will. At age 75, to the point where God says, give me the knife. Because Abraham knew that even if he sacrificed Isaac, God would bring him back to life. Abraham learned by faith to rest in the trustworthiness of God. Paul writes about it in Romans 4, 20 and 21. Thousands of years later, Paul says, no unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith. He grew strong in 25 years of waiting. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Fully convinced. Abraham had a settled confidence in God. In churches, we wait in faith. We can't hold on to the outcome. If we're going to hold on to something, it must be God. And view God like Abraham did. But it took 25 years of learning. We're not going to have patience and endurance and faith tomorrow. 10 years from now, we might. 25 years from now, we might. But our faith is not in God's promise alone. Our faith must be rooted in the one who makes the promise. Abraham eventually learned, as Paul said, God's going to provide everything he needed. And perhaps God is making us wait for the same reasons that he made Abraham wait. To forge our faith. To put our faith in the fiery furnace, the refiner's fire. Maybe he's trying to make us attentive to his voice. To deepen our relationship. To prepare us for ministry. Maybe God has waited with you 80 years to prepare you for ministry at the Vienna Grade School for an hour a week. Maybe you're not 80, maybe you're 14 and want to do that. Ultimately, God makes us wait to transform us into his likeness. I think back to 2009 in our own situation when we started our adoption journey, and it was 6 years later before we traveled to South America. 6 years seemed like 60 years as we were waiting. During that process, we had fingerprints to do, home studies to do, training sessions on how to be a good parent, criminal record checks, and fingerprints, and fingerprints, and fingerprints. I thought by the time we were done waiting, my fingers were going to be raw. Like, and I think they do that to weed out the people who are not serious about it. And towards the end of our journey, we were about to give up hope. And I can confess to you that in that 6 years of waiting, there were times when we didn't wait well. I was the number one person that didn't wait well. And when I was in bad shape, Edna was good. And when Edna was good, I was in bad shape. You were good. When you were in bad shape, I was good. Or it could just be that I was bad the whole time. I don't know, but I can remember times of heartbreak whenever a door opened in that 6 years and God took it and slammed it shut. It was heartbreaking. We thought, maybe this is the one. But God was steering us away from the closed door so that he could open the doors to the right children. But we almost quit too soon. In 2014, we were 6 weeks, 42 days away from calling it quits, taking our application, or adopt an application and shred it in the shredder. 6 weeks. And we got news that in God's perfect timing, he had a match for our family. The right match, not the wrong one. It was a display of his perfect will for us when we got matched. And in retrospect, looking back on that, I can at least see in our situation, wait was the best answer that God had for us. It was the most precious answer. Wait. It makes us cling to him rather than cling to the outcome. And God knows what we need. I don't. God sees the future. I can't. His perspective is eternal. Mine is earthly and temporary. But he will give us what's best for us when it's best for us. As Paul Tripp says, waiting is not just about what I get at the end of the wait, but about who I become as I wait. So waiting's not just about the outcome, it's who you are and who you are transformed into as you're waiting on the Lord. Faith in God while we are waiting grows by being exercised. It must be fed. And when we wait on the Lord for something, be it a week or 12 years, that builds character in our lives. The end result is our growth as we're waiting on the Lord. It's worship because we can see where he opened the right door. We have courage and confidence in him. And we develop a willingness to wait for God's deliverance and to wait with hope. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's now. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And the psalmist is telling us, we can have renewed faith and trust in God's character and his promises and even his timing today in the land of the living. I don't need to wait till my deathbed to make this confession. Today, July 29th, we can say, I'm going to look upon God's goodness in the land of the living while I still have time left. In moments of waiting, we need to recall who God is, what he's done for us, and what he's promised to do. In times of waiting, God opens our eyes so that we're able to see him, to see all the resources available to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus died to save us from our sins and give us his righteousness. But in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came not so that you would just have normal life. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. We can confess our faith in the Lord today in the land of the living. All of our resources available to us in Christ, we've been bought by his blood. The Bible says that once we're in his hand, nothing can separate us from that. And God will not let us go. During our times of waiting, church, let's not look to ourselves and to our circumstances, but rather to a good Father in heaven. And as we turn our eyes heavenward, we wait together for the one thing as believer that we long for the most. And that's a God who brings salvation. We just read it in our reading in Romans. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The final goal for the believer is salvation. This is a hope that will not disappoint. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. When the waiting's over, we worship God out of thankfulness to him, the one who fulfills our expectations beyond what we can imagine. Those who wait on the Lord do not lose heart in their prayers. 1 John 5:14, John says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." John does not tell us that God answers our prayers the way we want, but that He hears us. So I want to encourage you, God hears your prayers as you're waiting on Him. Continue praying. Waiting on the Lord will renew our strength. We see that in Isaiah 40. Prayer and Bible study and meditating upon God's word is essential for us as we wait. Many times, if we read through our Bible as we're waiting, we can find an answer from God as to why we're waiting. We need a heart as believers that's responsive to God's word. We need to focus on eternal things, not earthly things. And we need a patience that's rooted in faith. There are those who do not know the Lord. They will not wait on Him. Neither will those who fail to trust Him. We must be confident of who God is and what He's capable of doing. A man named Pete Wilson said, "Spiritual transformation happens in the waiting room." Spiritual transformation happens in the waiting room. This morning, maybe you're waiting on God for physical healing. God hears you, and He's faithful. Maybe you're waiting on God for that promotion at work. God hears you, and He's faithful. Maybe you're waiting on God for deliverance from physical pain and suffering. God hears you. He's faithful. Maybe your marriage needs healing. God hears you. He's faithful. Maybe you're waiting to end the grief and loneliness that haunts your life. God hears you. He's faithful. In the Old Testament, God made Joseph wait 13 years. Abraham and Sarah waited 25. Moses waited 40 years. Jesus waited 30 years to begin His earthly ministry. And so if God is making you wait, you're in good company. Waiting on the Lord will produce infinitely greater things for us now and in the future, more so than the best that the world has to offer. Don't put your faith in the world. Put your faith in the refuge and the fortress of God's word and run to Him. He hears you. He's faithful. And God may be silent during your waiting, but I can guarantee you one thing. He's not absent. He's not off afar. He's not distant or numb to your problems. From verse 8 of our text this morning, trust in Him at all times, fellowship. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Let's pray to our refuge, our rock, and our fortress. Lord God, our Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, praying faithfully. Like right before You healed Lazarus, You said, "Lord God, I thank You that You hear me. I thank You that You have always heard me." And we can take faith in knowing that when we're waiting and hurting and waiting and waiting, our prayers don't stop at the ceiling above us. Our prayers that we have as we're waiting and are being ushered into the throne room by the Holy Spirit and Your Son, Jesus. And when all we have is tears and groaning, they're translating that to You, God. And You know, You tell us that our tears are kept in a bottle and that You're not absent or distant from us. Lord, please give us faith as we wait. Please build our character. Please help us to put our rooted trust and settled confidence in Your word and Your faithfulness. Lord, again, please be with our mission team. Give them safe traveling mercy. Help them be a shining light to a lost world. Help us, Father, as we wait on you. Give us patience and endurance and character and hope that will not put us to shame. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.